Thank you, Ms. Blair. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. Turn with me to the 92nd chapter. 92nd chapter of the book of Psalms this morning. And it was chilly this morning. Amen. Lost an hour of sleep. Amen. I didn't lose it. I got in bed early. Well, praise God for you. Amen. Psalm 92. I spent the week, we've had so much rain and things, Lord really was in my heart to study the word spring. So I've been kind of trying to take some things and study out the word spring in the Bible and just looked at different areas, and the message was born out of that. And I want to read the entire chapter today, and so it's going to take, as my way is, to have a lot of introduction, a lot of scripture reading, and then preaching really in a short time at the end. But for the tape room today, the title will be this: Fat, Flourishing, and Founded. Flat, fat, flourishing, and founded in the scripture here. We'll see that all this morning, but let's go to the Lord and pray and ask Him to meet with us this morning before we read the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, as we come to You this morning, God, we thank You for all that You did for us last week, Lord, and how You, a great victory, Lord, through Restore-a-thon, and how even now, Lord, I look ahead and I trust You for a great victory and soul-winning marathon. But Lord, here in the midst, and sometimes we may call it the valley, Lord, I want to be able to look up and see You all around me and to realize, God, that You're still God, and no matter where we stand, whether it's in the valley or on the mountaintop, God, help everyone that's in this room, if You're their God and they're saved and on their way to heaven, help us, God, to be encouraged in the midst of the valley of all the things we see on the news and all the things we see on a daily basis. God, help us to look up and realize You're still God. But for the one that doesn't know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that You would reveal Yourself to them today. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You would draw men as Christ is lifted up. I pray, God, today that if there's one, that I pray that You would save the soul that's nearest hell today. Help them not to resist, but to come and to call upon Your name. We ask it all in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. In Psalms 92, we begin reading there in the very first verse. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth the loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with solemn sound. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But Thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, Thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, Thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall Thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that raise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." I've preached out of this passage of Scripture before, and I cannot get away from it. But as I studied springs, I couldn't help but go back here. And I'm thinking about spring. Next Sunday, we'll actually technically begin spring. And thank goodness it wasn't today, because it would really have messed up the meteorologists and everybody's plans for spring. It was awful cold this morning. I had to get up out of bed and turn the heat on this morning. Amen. In the house to warm everything up so everyone else would wake up and get out. Amen. And I don't know about you, but even in the church house today, the air condition is not pumping as hard as that usually is, because it's cool outside. Amen. There's a natural cool that the Lord has brought on us. If you're like me, I like the change. I like a little bit of different from some things. I'm not complaining. I'm praising the Lord that we still get a little bit. But as I read the scripture and thought about spring, spring to me is when things spring forth from the ground. The buds spring forth from the trees. We don't get all the seasons in Florida like everywhere else, but here we do get grass springing up every time it rains. I had a good little lull in my yard that it looked kind of dead, and it was hoping it would stay that way. And I didn't have to cut it all the time, but boy, the rain came, and just like that, just like the way that God made grass, the water went in and the grass went up, up, up. It sprang up from the ground. And I thought about the scripture this morning, and I realized where we are in the world. And sometimes we forget that God is still God, that God still is in control. And when we start looking at gas prices going up, 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 and we see that, you know, the what I could say, the armies of the world ramping up, up, and up. And we can see people getting in the White House, getting puffed up, up, up. And we see all those things. I realize that I have a God that can do just what I did. I got on the old John Deere lawnmower and cut it all back down to where it was before and just wiped it back out again. And I realize I serve a righteous God, one that's not unrighteous to forget his people. I know I serve a God that's still righteous, and that all those enemies to the Lord and to our God and to everyone else in this world may raise up their evil head. Thine enemies, the Bible says, they're not just mine enemies, they're thine enemies. And where they're his enemies, listen, now you better look out and stay clear, because God is chopping heads one day. You say, well, I don't know about this. I don't know this Putin. Listen, who is Putin compared to my God? All right. What is a nation that would rear its head up against God and against all that God knows is true and right? You say, well, I know. I'm looking in prophecy, and God says he's going to put hooks in their mouth and he's going to drag them down. Listen, if it's God's will and it's God's way, then he'll have his way and he'll have his will. But one day they're still going to be cut off the way God said he was going to cut them off. Hey, it'll be in God's time, in his will, and in his way. And I'm not getting in the way of God. I'm just going to realize that he set a place for me to be fat, to flourish, and to be founded. Do you know, here in the scripture, he goes on and on and on and talks about all the good things for the Christian. Listen, we just need to wait on God and trust in him. You know, too many times we get shook to the core because gas prices are going up, up, up. We're ready to change everything. Half of you are ready. You're really thinking about going and getting you an electric car. You've been looking at the price of gas and looking at the price of an electric car. Like electric don't cost money. Like they don't burn coal and diesel fuel to make the electric you need to stick in your car. Now, I don't want to get off on the stupidness of all that. Even these biodiesel and everything else. I don't know about... Let me just say this, because I was born and raised on a farm. You know, it costs three times the amount of diesel to run the tractor through the field to get the corn that they're going to change over to diesel fuel to get 1 gallon of diesel. The liberal crowd, in this way they're going to save the world, is dumb, dumb, dumb. All right? The only way you can get that dumb is to go get educated to be that stupid. You have to collect yourself, a collective people, and decide you're going to study to show yourself stupid. I'm telling you. You know, you got to get in the book to show yourself wise. You got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the Bible says. But there's a whole bunch of other people, and there's some people that sat in church that send their kids off to study at the feet of stupid people that train them to do this, and they think they're going to save the world. I just sat down a few minutes and turned the television on for a few minutes, and now we've jumped off of polar bears, and now we're on elephants. We're going to save all the elephants. Amen. I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you saw on yours, but I'm sure maybe it was save the puppies. Or save, I don't know what it is, but they're always trying to save something from the brink of disaster when I realize there's a God in heaven. All right? And he just like he holds me in his hand, he's got the elephants. All right? And he's got the polar bears. Do you realize that when them polar bears are floating away on that little chunk of ice, they can still swim? And if you get in the wild with an elephant and you make him mad, I'm going to tell you which one of you is turning and running. All right? You ain't going to go hold his trunk and baby him. All right? And we'll give and we'll give and we'll give to that sort of thing because we want to be the change. That's what the world tells us, be the change. How about letting the Lord be the change? How about just surrendering to His will and His way? He's got some things to say in the Scripture. Look at it here. I like this. He goes on. He says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Do you realize he doesn't understand this? And he's talking about verse 7. When the wicked spring up, spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish. You see, there are times in this world, and we've seen them. We could look back to the 60s, the 70s. My daddy fought in Vietnam, and their evil sprang up. All right? It's not new. It's common unto man for wars and rumors of wars to go on until Jesus comes. It'll spring up, and for a while they flourish. It says that they shall be destroyed forever, but thou, O Lord, Lord, art most high forevermore. I don't know about you, but there's enemies that get a little time. They get a little time to rise and shine and poke their head up and say, look at me. But there's one that's above all forevermore. And He's the Lord God. I don't know about you this morning, but whatever you were fearful of when you came in this morning, you ought to take God home with you and fear Him. If you fear Him right and realize you're going to reverence Him, then you ain't got to worry about all the nasty now in this world. You realize that He reigns on high, that He sits on the throne, and it's people that He raises up and He cuts them off. He raises them up and He cuts them off. He allows things to come and He allows things to go, but all of those things are going to happen in His will. But one day, as a Christian, and while I'm fat, flourishing, and founded upon the Word of God, I'm going to hear a shout from heaven. And the great God, His name is Jesus, He'll come from heaven and He'll take me out of this place and I'll spend forever with Him. Hey, I don't know about you today, but I think that you ought to get excited about that. You know, you are so worried about keeping gas in your car. Why don't you just pray, God, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. That ain't going to take an ounce of gas. It don't have to be high test. It ain't got to be low test. It ain't even going to be biodiesel. Nothing left in your tank, and He'll take you home just like that. Amen. If you know Him as your Savior, say, what is this heaven that you speak of? Listen, it's just a place that He went to prepare for me and you. Not something that you know, you or I prepared. Not something, if He could do above all that I could ever ask or think, I can think and think about and ask a whole lot. I mean, you know, I know where we live and I know what's going on, but if I were to really put on, I mean, if the best house that we have, if we all collectively got together and showed each other all the pictures online of our drone flying over our domicile, and we showed everything that was the nicest of the nice, and it was right on a lake, and it had a pool, it had a big shop. I mean, the shop is more important than the house. And I mean, all those things that were real nice, you know, and said, that is the best place that I could have here on planet Earth. Listen, that's nothing. That's nothing like what's prepared for me in heaven. Listen, I'm going to tell you, my mansion's going to be this little square box with four walls and a great big shop out back. He said, what you're going to work on? Everything's perfect. I don't know, but I'll find something to work on. I don't know what I'm going to do, but God's going to let me work on something. I'll say, Lord, can you help me break this so we can fix it? Amen. I said, you know, because I want to work on something. Amen. He'll say, no, sit down here. And He's going to gird Himself and feed us. I'm looking forward to spending time in heaven. Maybe I'll just be able to spend time in the shop. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm just saying, listen, I like some things here on earth. There are some things that I can latch on to and I can find pleasure in. But what's heaven going to be like if I can find pleasure on this side of heaven? If there are pleasant things that God allows me to be part of on this side, then what do I have to look forward to as a believer? You know, heaven, that's a place that the believer gets to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. I mean, I know the deal. I know we're going, coming, and going back again. I realize all those things that are going to happen in eschatology, but don't mess up my thought process this morning. Wherever Jesus is heaven to me. Amen. Amen and amen. He says here in the Scripture, He says not only, I mean, as they spring up, He's able to cut them off. He's going to be forevermore. He goes through all these things, but He says, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, look at verse 9, for lo, the enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Listen, I don't know about you, but as a preacher, I get excited a little bit. I've heard some messages on fresh oil, and I've heard some messages on the horn, but I can tell you who the horn of my salvation is, and that is Jesus Christ. And I'm not looking. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That's not talking about me, folks. That's not talking about you. That's not talking about the psalmist and that his horn is going to be lifted up like a unicorn. The horn of my salvation was lifted up a long time ago on Calvary. He paid for my sin debt and your sin debt. He took my hell upon himself and he took your hell upon himself. And then he rose again in victory. And his horn is lifted up because he is to be praised. He is to be promised to. He is the one that's supposed to be lived for. You say, oh, preacher, you get all excited about that. I'll get excited about it until Jesus comes and I'll keep having excitement about it. I'm only going to heaven because of what Jesus did. I'm only going to heaven because the horn of my salvation paid the sin debt. It's all been paid. All to him I owe. There's not another person that I can praise the way I can praise Jesus because of what he did for me that day on Calvary and that he rose again in victory. I didn't have hope of victory. I was going to go to hell. I was going to die in my sins, but one came from heaven and took my sin upon himself and he became, the Bible says in Hebrews that he became suffering for me. And then he rose again on the third day. There ain't one person on this planet earth that's ever lived a perfect life. There's not one person that ever came from heaven that was God that wrapped himself in flesh and blood and rose again on the third day. There's one that we can praise. There's one that we can pray to. There's only one name that you can find salvation in, and that name is Jesus. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm excited today. I'm excited that I'm saved. Whether I'm on the mountaintop and I'm praising God for the victories, or whether I'm walking through the valley, he's still God. Salvation is still real. God is still on the throne, and I can still be fat, flourishing, and if I'll just say it like this, founded upon the Word of God. You know, circumstances don't change the Word of God. Circumstances do not change truth. When you are founded upon a book, no matter whether Russia is invading a country, whether gas prices are so high that you can't change them and you can't fill up your tank, God is still God and he is still on the throne. His book is still truth. Salvation still costs nothing to you if you'll just accept it by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's still the same. It didn't change. Though everything else in the world, although we'll set up presidents that don't belong to be there, although we'll set up people that don't belong to be in Congress or in the Senate, a bunch of crooks and thieves that stand up and do what's best for them instead of what's best for the nation. You say, I don't like you preaching politics. I don't like how you don't preach against them. And you say, I don't like how you speak up against everything under the sun. I don't like how you don't do it. Amen. I'm just going to tell you this morning that Jesus is worth preaching. He's worth living for, and he's worth dying for, if that's what it comes to. Amen and amen. You say, Brother Parsons, I can't imagine that it's that way. I can't imagine you should get that excited. Well, how about that? Look down with me. Look, he says here, he says, mine eye also shall see my desire, all my enemies. And my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked to rise up against me. You know, I know in the New Testament it teaches me that I'm not supposed to hope bad things for anybody. But God has a will. And he ain't talking about me or you. He has an expectation for them. He has a will for them. You say, oh, well, I don't think we were Calvinists. We're not. Do you know anybody that was an enemy of God? Can I tell you who was an enemy of God? You're looking at him. Before I came to Christ, I used to come to his house. And I had never called upon his name. And there was enmity between me and God. But the one that I've been preaching about, who's my horn, who's my rock, who's everything to me today, that Lord Jesus, he came and tore down the middle wall of partition. Not just, I've said it over and over again, not just the Jew and the Greek, but between me and God. He tore down the enmity that was there. I had no way to come before a holy God. I had no way to enter into his throne. I had no way to be saved. But then Jesus came and died for me. And he died for you, and he took down something that had been up for so long. You know how long it had been? Ever since man fell into sin. When God separated himself, when God left that garden that day, when he made a picture of his son in Genesis 3:15 and made a promise that woman would have a seed that was born. You know, he wasn't talking about Cain. And he wasn't talking about Abel, and he wasn't talking about Seth. He was talking about Jesus.
Amen.
That woman would bear the very perfect Son of God, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, I don't know how that could happen. I don't understand it either. Science can't understand it. Science can't explain it, but one day I'll know as I'm known. And I'll realize that it was just the way the Word of God said, because it's founded in the Word of God. He said here, he goes and says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, I got reading this and I got thinking about how many folks, you know, I mean, we got folks here that are young folks that think they're bulletproof, and we got old folks that realize they're just waiting for the shout. Amen. That this physical body ain't going to get no better if Jesus don't come and save us from it.
That's right.
They know what it is to feel creep. You know, and I was out there at camp. We've got some palm trees, and they're usually the young ones. You know what I'm talking about? They shoot way up to the sky. They ain't real. They're real skinny, but they're real tall. They shoot way up there. I look at that thing, and man, they blow in the breeze, and they think they're bulletproof. You know, a good storm, and they'll bend a long way. I mean, if you ever mess with a palm tree, you try cutting one of them jokers with a chainsaw, amen? I mean, it'll ruin a blade. It'll ruin a saw blade. But you know, that ain't the only way palm trees can keep on going. I've seen them go through storms and get knocked all the way down to the ground, and they keep growing all crooked, and they wind around. We got one that's over by the girls' cabins out at camp, and the girls walk on it, sit on that thing. I thought to myself a long time ago, why didn't we cut that thing up and move that out of the way? Because I was going to use it for a preaching illustration. That's why. We left it right there. Hey, folks, you know, I go across the auditorium. We got young people. We got young people that are standing up straight and can serve God with everything they are. And I mean, that God can get the glory out of them. But, you know, God's not above getting glory out of an old crooked palm tree. Amen. That's still flourishing. You say, how in the world? That thing got blowed over years ago. It can't stand up straight anymore. It can't do what it used to do, but it's still green as it could be. It's still producing fruit like it used to. It's still what it ought to be for God's glory until he comes. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want to be like the old palm tree. I want to stand up when it's my time to stand up for the Lord. I want to bend over when it's my time to bend over. I want to, when I get cricks and crooks and get all kind of bent out of shape. And you say, man, I don't know how in the world I want to be down there when I can't even stand up anymore and go praise God for his goodness. Some of the dearest saints in this world, the greatest testimonies have not always come from behind the pulpit, but times when I made a visit into an old nursing home to a place and hear somebody, when I mean it, their body is broken and failing them. And I hear them give God praises. And I hear them talk about the goodness of God. And here I walked in there on my own two feet. Here I carried myself in there and thought I was going to do something for them. And they're the ones that encourage me. Because even in the low places, even in the hard places, even when I'm ready to go on home, if God leaves me here, I can still produce fruit. I can still praise his name. I can still tell people about the lover of my soul who saved me and died for me. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I'd like to be like that old palm tree. I don't want to just be like the grass that comes up and is cut down. I want to be the palm tree that stays the storms and stands until I get knocked down. And then when I can't stand up anymore, I just keep praising his name and be flourishing for him. He says, those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You want to see the difference between the palm trees that make it and the ones that don't? It depends on where they're planted. Hey, folks, you didn't see that one coming, did you? You should have read ahead of me. It was right there in the Bible. Hey, it depends on where you're planted. You know that there's a bunch of palm trees that are at camp that aren't there anymore. And it's not because they were in the way. It's because when the storm came and they just about, I mean, they got broke off. They got bent over, or they rotted from the inside out because they were not flourishing anymore because they weren't planted in the right place. You want to know where the right place for the palm tree of a Christian is? In God's house, in his love, in his family, in the place that God can keep feeding you and keep taking care of you. And when disease gets to you, man, the book can cure you of anything. If you'll just get in God's word and find on what God has written down for you and let the healing balm of Gilead get down deep in your soul. He can heal you of anything. You say, well, I've been sick for all these years. Listen, folks, most of the people that are in the church are people that fall out and are broken off. It's not some physical disease or even COVID that really got them. It's the disease of bitterness. It's the disease of worry. It's the disease of brokenness because that person got something that I didn't get. It's envy. And listen, there's strife. All these different things are what tear people down. Not the things that are natural to every and common to every man, but the believer ought to live above all those things that I just mentioned. The believer ought to live in God's house and come into God's house. And when those things are preached against, they ought to bring them to the altar and leave them there and let God have them and take that cooling salt, that salve that God gave them in the church and say, hey, this is my family. I was bitter with my brother, but my brother loves me. He doesn't have aught against me. All this time I carried this weight and I should have got it fixed. Hey, God wants me to work and he wants me to serve in his church and I ought to get back to it. God wants me to give to the missions, to whatever it is that he give. Gas is getting more expensive. Oh, so much the more we ought to run the buses until the day approaches as we see it. How in the world are we going to live in this late day? Trusting in God, being in his house. Being doing what we've always done. Don't let the circumstances of the life take you and plant you outside of God's goodness and where you can flourish. You stay in God's church. He goes on. He says, man, they shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Do you know the word fat is this? I know you think the definition is chicken on the preacher. I know what you're thinking. But the 1828 Dictionary of Fat is this, abounding in spiritual grace and comfort. Amen. That word means fat. The Christian to be fat, you know, the righteous soul shall be made fat, the Bible says. I mean, it has so much to say about a person being fat. And it ain't talking about how well-rounded you are. It's talking about your spiritual condition and God feeding you in the spirit. You know, we talk about fasting and praying and we talk about that, but God, even in his spiritual realm, has that look of we've been blessed. That God has really loaded us up and he's taken care of us and it is shown in abounding in spiritual grace. What does that mean? Listen, if God was good enough to give me grace and what I don't deserve, then I sure am not going to give somebody else next to me what for. I'm going to give them grace. What about this guy? I gave him a chance. We'll give him some more grace. How about when you first started out for the Lord? Were you perfect? Well, listen, don't answer that Pharisee till you think about it. All right, not about the last 10 years of your life. How about the first 10 when you were still working on it? Amen. Spiritual grace and comfort. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I read this word fat and I realized that it meant comfort, you know what most Christians need in this day? When it seems like the world is going to go to war, like all the prophecies of the Bible are about to be fulfilled, I take comfort in whose I am. That the horn of my salvation is still upon the throne. That he's waiting to come back for me. And no matter how bad it really gets here, before it gets too bad, he's coming back for me. Amen. There's comfort in that. That I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Listen, there's comfort in that. How about flourishing? The word flourishing, he said fat and flourishing. In old age, we can be fat and flourishing. Flourishing means thriving. Prosperous. Increasing. Making a show. I don't know about you, but one of the things that's important to me is I don't want to live on yesterday's blessings. I don't just want to hold the status quo. I want to always be increasing in the Lord. I want to increase in knowledge of his word. I want to increase with brethren in the church. I want to increase on my bus route. I want to increase in everything that we do. I want to see increase. I want to see growth in the Christian life. I want people to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want to see growth and increasing of spiritual armor being put on God's people. They start out with the helmet of salvation and get that breastplate of righteousness. I want to see them carry the shield of faith into battle. I want to see God's people constantly increasing because they're flourishing in God's work, His way, and His word. I want to see the thriving of God's people. I want to see them prosperous. You know that just because everything else in the world is going to pot doesn't mean that we can't be prosperous. Too many times we think everything that when we prosper, it's because if we got money or we got this. How about that your family is fed and taken care of? How about because you got a house and a roof over your head and you got shoes on your feet? When did we get so high and mighty that if the bank account ain't so high, we're not prospering anymore? How about if we just get back to the old time way that if God takes care of my basic needs, He's been good to me. He's been more than good to me. Listen, we come to a place today where we've let the success or whatever you want to call it, the prosperity of the world define prosperity in His church. And that is not a good idea. The world should never define the terminology of the church. Never. Listen, if we're not careful, you say, well, what if you let them change prosperity, then you can let them change marriage, right? Right? Hey, we let them change prosperity, and guess what happens? They want to change gender. We let them change prosperity, and the next thing you know, they'll change. Look, we could go right down the line. How about salvation? You can come any way you want. Listen, sister, I'm going to tell you, this book right here says that you can only get saved through one name. There's only one Savior. And you don't get to call Him what you want. I've heard so many people say, well, Allah is the same as Jesus. That is a flat out lie. That's a lie of the devil. You can't call a man father and get by with it upon the earth and think you're going to get saved because you went and confessed to him. There's not one man that resides on planet earth today that can give you salvation. There's one man that resides in heaven that already purchased salvation for you, and you must come through him today in his finished work to be saved. You can't come your own way. You can't change the definition. You can't eat enough of transubstantiation. Big word to say that you can take the Holy Eucharist. You can't eat Jesus and get saved. You got to accept him as your personal Savior. You must be born again into the family of God. You can't eat, you can't work, you can't walk, you can't do any of those things your way into heaven. You have to accept Jesus's work. You have to accept Jesus's way. You have to accept his word, that what he said, that he'll come again and receive you into himself, and that where he is, you can be also. I don't know about you, but I get awful upset when people go changing God's word and changing his work and his way to the way that fits their schedule or fits their prosperity. But no, we won't be changing definitions in this place. We'll be following the good word of God and his way. And listen, people will still be saved because of God's word. People have been saved all through the ages. This book is 411 years old. And people that have been reading it and preaching it have seen people saved, and we'll keep doing it. Because God, if I'm going to flourish, I'm going to stay with the book. If you're going to flourish, you're going to stick with the book. If you're going to flourish, you're going to stick with the Bible's terminology. You say, preacher, man, you're getting awful wound up this morning. Listen, this only matters. You know why our country's going to pot? Because the country left the book. And they're not flourishing anymore. How about founded? Look at this. He says, to show that the Lord is upright. Do you know what my life is all about? If all I had to do was get saved, then poof, I'd be in heaven. But God left me here so that he could make me fat. He wanted me to grow spiritually and show the grace of the good God in my life. And to show, listen, beyond that, even think about this, that I have comfort in the midst of the storm. You know, when most people turn to Christ, when they walk into a place and realize everybody ain't worried about what's happening in Ukraine today, or the gas prices, they realize that, hey, I'm just trusting God. Amen. I got comfort in the midst of the storm. You say, oh, preacher, it ain't like that. It's like that. It's still like that. It was like that in the 70s. It was like that in the 80s. It was like that in the 90s. It's still like that today. If you will just let God grow you spiritually to a place where people can look to you and go, man, what a picture of grace. Man, what a picture of comfort. I need what you have. How about flourishing? You know, when people realize in the midst of an old, dirty, nasty world that seems to be spiraling downhill, that somebody's thriving, somebody is living a prosperous life, how in the world did you raise a good family in this nasty world? How did you raise a group of kids that'll live for God in the midst of this life? Because God said he'd flourish me if I'd follow him. If I'd plant myself in his house. You know, somebody asked me, Blair that sang today, most of you know this, but for those of you that knew, Blair's from my youth group. There are several other people that serve on our group, on our staff that are from my youth group when I was a youth pastor. I was asked the question this week, what did you do to have success, to have so many people that were in your youth group be in the work of God? I said, I just tried to be fat in front of them. Amen. And I was successful, right? You say, that's crazy, preacher. No, I just wanted to abound in grace. Even when I messed up, I said, man, God took care of that for me, even when I wasn't in the best place. I tried to show that I had comfort. I told this person today, I said, I stayed planted in the right place. Me and my family. This world thinks that we need to have some kind of balance where we go to the church half the time, we go somewhere else. No, this place, you realize when you're born again, you're born into the family of God. And nobody would account balance as going to half of your family's birthday parties and half of the other events. No, they would think that's ludicrous. And when everybody asked me, why are you going down to the church house again? I'm going to see my family. My family's getting together. We're getting together for fellowship today. Do you know the Bible tells us that we're supposed to have fellowship and so much the more as we see the day approaching? Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you. You say, what does it mean to be founded? God is so upright, I've got to be fixed in the same place. The word founded means this. He goes, the Lord is upright. So I'm supposed to picture that the Lord is upright. But how about this? He says, he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. I want to be founded upon a rock. Founded upon a rock in my salvation. I want to be founded upon a rock in everything that happens in my future. The word founded means set, fixed, established on a basis. This is the best part. The word founded means to begin in that place and be built in that place. You know what's falling apart in America today? People don't come to his church and start there and finish there. You know, if we would begin in God's church and let ourselves be built there and stay there, we'd have some more palm trees that were to God's honor and glory. We'd have a place, man, where you couldn't put a seat up in the place. We'd have to put extra chairs out. And we would look at their lives and see how they were thriving and prosperous. Think about this, even this, increasing. I thought about this. You know, when my kids come down, I like to tell everybody, look, this is my child. The Bible, the word thriving means making a show. You know what God wants to make out of your life? He wants to prop you up and say, look at here. You say, oh, I don't think that, preacher. He did it with Job. Yes. The devil came a knocking and he said, man. He said, yeah, I've been going to and from in the earth. He said, hey, you check out my servant Job. Amen. Amen. What did the devil start doing? I know he's fat, but that's because he stays in your hand. I know he's flourishing, but that's because you hedged him up on every side. Because he's following you in every way. He said, I know because he's founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He knows that one day he'll see his Redeemer face to face. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to have a testimony like Job one day. That even when the storms came, I stayed fixed, founded upon the rock of salvation. Let me ask you this morning, are you fat, flourishing, and founded upon the Word of God? If you're here, listen, you know that all starts with finding out that Jesus is the Savior. Maybe you're here today and this is the first time you heard it. Maybe it's not the first time you heard it, but you've never accepted it. That Jesus paid your sin debt, and if you would just trust him with your never-dying soul, you could be born again into a family just like this one and be saved and on your way to heaven. And all of a sudden have a family that you never had before and a fellowship that you never had before and a place to flourish that you never thought you could ever dream of. Hey, you know what? That's what God is offering you today. He's offering you that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you could come to Christ today and be saved. Accepting him is just as easy as it is, just coming through the blood of Jesus Christ and being saved. If you're here and you, listen, as a believer, you've been around a long time. Maybe you've been saved a long time, but you don't feel that you're spiritually have that grace that you once had. Maybe you need to come and eat. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to abound in my life. Maybe you're not flourishing because you got out of church. Maybe you need to come this morning and say, God, I'm going to stay in your house. I'm going to stay close to you and walk with you. How about maybe you've been getting away from the doctrines of the Bible and his church. And you've been not founded the way you are. One foot in the world, one foot on the rock. Why don't you put both feet back in God's house and on his word and say, I'm going to raise my family this way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? If God spoke to you this morning, why don't you step out and come? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the musicians are coming. Well, why don't you step out? I'll meet you in the front this morning, and I'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, or one of these men or women will. But if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning, why don't you step out and come? If you need to grow in an area to be fat, flourishing, or founded, step out and come, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning in an attitude of prayer? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this invitation is to you to step out and come and receive Christ. Maybe you're here and you've never been baptized. You know, I'd love to join this church, preacher. The baptism's warmer than the building is. There's a place for you to get in. You can come and just be baptized, picturing the death, burial, and the resurrection of your Savior. Why would anybody want to hold out on that? Why don't you come and join this good church this morning through baptism, as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me one more time? I'm not trying to extend the invitation time, but to make sure that if there's somebody that's lost in the building, that they know for sure that this church wants them to be saved. Listen, folks, you may be embarrassed to step out and come. Maybe there's somebody by you that needs you to encourage them. While your heads are bowed and while just Brother Bert sings, if there's somebody by you that you think needs salvation, why don't you nudge them and say, hey, I'll go with you. If you need to be saved, I'll go with you this morning. Why don't you encourage somebody near you? If you know there's somebody brand new or somebody that needs Christ, why don't you pray with them right where you are, or bring them down the aisle as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need God, I come.
Amen. Well, We're always sorry and our heart broken when someone doesn't step out, but you don't have to come down to be saved. If I'm going to go to the back door this morning, and on your way out, if you need to accept Christ, I'll be more than happy to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Any of these folks that are down on the front of the aisle can take the Bible and show you that. Please don't leave this place without Jesus Christ. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and we want you to have heaven more than anything. That's why we met together this morning. I want to encourage you to be back tonight. We'll have some missionaries come tonight that are from the Middle East, and you do not want to miss it. I want you to be here. We're going to encourage you about that. And then also, I'd like to remind you, if you're going to go on a soul winning marathon, we're going to have a meeting right after the evening service very quickly, just to make sure we have all our paperwork straight. Amen. So we want to do that. We're going to close in prayer this morning. Thank you so much for being here. So many folks, and it's good to see. I think that's Joel over there, isn't it? I saw you. Amen. Good to see one of my teenagers. Amen. And it's good to see him here today as well. Brother Perkins, close us in prayer, if you would, sir.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you, and we do thank you for the message that we heard this morning, Father. We ask that you allow us to take it with us and meditate upon it. And Father, we do pray that nobody leaves here lost this morning, that today would be their day of salvation. And Father, as we dismiss, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you, and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.